A lot of people have asked me where the idea of it came from. I came across a word, enouement, which is E-N-O-U-E-M-E-N-T, and I never heard that before. It sounded like vaguely French or something, I don't know. But enouement means wistful sadness at not being able to tell your younger self what you know now.
When I heard it, it made me think of it like an insurance word.
Yes, like,
you'll have to name your
enouments. You don't have enough enouement for your kids, you know? You want to get some enouement for the dog? Because that dog doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Right. But okay. I think that feeling, that not being able to tell your younger self, I think that's a fairly universal thing. It may just be me because, you know, I'm raised Catholic, very guilty all the time. But I think a lot of people have that feeling, I wish I could go back and say, not say that thing or do this other thing or whatever it is.
That's right? Life.
Yeah, it is life. Yeah, yeah.
It takes place in a bar.
It does.
And it's a couple.
I was a bartender in Chicago in the 80s. I'm from Chicago originally. I live in New York now. But I worked at a 4 o'clock bar, which is there's a handful of those in Chicago. Most bars close at 2, and then all those bars wash into the 4 o'clock bar. The staff, the drunken patrons, we get a huge rush at 2 a.m. Anyway, this play takes place at a regular bar in Chicago. Guy's closing up. It's almost like 20 minutes to closing, and an older gentleman walks in and wants a drink. And the guy says, "We're closing. You got to go." And the older gentleman talks him into giving him one drink, and they start talking about their lives and who they are and what they want. And then the younger guy's girlfriend, who's a waitress at the IHOP down the block, comes in, and you get the feeling they close up together a lot and, you know, whatever. Anyway, they all talk for a while, and it becomes clear that the older guy wants to stay, and they don't want him to stay. And he offers them each $200 if he can just sit for half an hour and talk. And they think about it, and they turn him down. He goes, okay, deal. He gets to the door, and he offers them each $1,000 if he can just sit and talk. And they take it. And they lock up the place, and they make it look closed. And then the old man sort of starts spinning a tale.
You worked in a bar, and you must have had people that have come in and talked to you.
Oh, yeah.
But you also have a Catholic background where there's confession. And there seems to be in your life these two experiences of where there's a compulsion to tell and to talk in the bar.
Well, my mom did want me to become a priest, so that didn't happen, but bartender is just right there. It's like priest, bartender, cardinal. You know, it's like that. No. But obviously I was raised in a tradition that has that, you know, that people talk and bare their souls and someone else listens. And that's very true. And I know it's a cliche about bartenders, but it is a thing that bartenders do. I would like to think there were times when I was, you know, that even though it's a bar and I know drinking's not tremendously healthy, there were some positive things about it.
As a playwright, do you think that's your compulsion too, to tell these stories and to find new characters that can speak in different ways?
Somebody asked me this just recently, and I use a quote. I can't remember who the quote is from, but the quote is that writers are explaining the world to themselves. And I find that I'm just like, I'm 63 now, and I still sometimes feel like I'm pinballing around and I'm shooting in the dark, and I'm trying to make sense of this thing we have, this life we do. So I'm looking at things, and I write these plays as a sort of a meditation, or if you will, or just I'm thinking about the stuff that bothers me. I am one of these people who wakes up at 3:14 in the morning and thinks about that stupid thing he said in high school, and it, you know, bothers me, or I think about why didn't I do this or why did I do that, and this play deals with a lot of that. It deals with regret, but it also deals with the poisonous effects of too much of that. I mean, a certain amount of guilt keeps us from killing each other. You know, that's good. Mm-hmm. But too much of that...
That's a very Catholic
perspective. Yes, exactly. Let's not have... But if too much of it is a very, very bad thing, you know. Uh-huh. So I think I'm using this as a way of just kind of trying to make sense of all this.
And this is a very personal question. Mm-hmm. I guess, is there a moment that you feel that you do go back to? And is it as simple and sort of trivial as that? It's like, why did I say this one thing when I was 14 years old? Or is it...
You know what? I think I go back to the times when I was thoughtless, or when I may have said something that I meant to be funny and it was just mean. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that I just have such regret about.